Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of the National Investor. And Chris, there's not too much to discuss in terms of market moves today, but there is one data point that came out this morning that I do want to get some of your insights on. That is the jobs data. The BLS said that the economy in August added 130,000 jobs. This was 30,000 less than expected. The two prior months were also revised lower by a combined 20,000. Let's just get your initial comments on this jobs number to kick off today.
Well, I think the jobs number was an excuse, first of all, as we saw earlier this morning when it came out, Corey, to take some of the extremes away from yesterday's news and at least give some traders pause. Interestingly enough, even though the 100% odds of a Fed rate cut in a few weeks or a couple weeks' time are a little bit less than 100% now, we nevertheless saw interest rates come back down a little bit after yesterday's spike. We saw precious metals rebound after yesterday's beating that they took. The stock market initially was down a bit. Now it's up modestly as we're recording this. So in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it really changes much. And in any case, the reason the Fed will cut rates again has much less to do with the economy, where really the jobs number in most respect was lukewarm. That's not going to move the needle for bulls or bears. But the Fed is going to move instead, of course, because of what's going on elsewhere and because it's something the markets are dragging them into doing.
Yeah, very true. As much as the Fed used to say they're data dependent, and I think everybody knows that they're more market following than anything. But one trend that is, I think, kind of interesting with the jobs data is we are seeing more or less a general decline in the pace of hirings. If you look at the 3-month trend compared to the 6-month trend compared to the 1-year trend, we are seeing just a general pullback in total jobs in the U.S. Now, I know that some of the arguments can be that the trade wars are providing this uncertainty, so companies aren't going out and hiring a bunch of workers. Do you think that really is the case of why we're seeing a general slowdown? It's not crashing, but a general slowdown in hirings.
I think, Corey, that trade war one is more of an excuse than an explanation. I'm not saying it's completely insignificant, but it's very minor compared to the grand scheme of things. You know, the story of the economy during the Trump administration is one that got this initial sugar high from the tax cuts and regulation changes. And I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form of being critical of those things. But you had a lot of front loading of business capital spending. You had some big boosts to the bottom line earnings of companies because of that. And that front-loaded a lot of activity for corporations. Now, in the recent past, as a lot of people have pointed out, and as the Fed has been wringing its hands over, even though the consumer part of the economy is still fairly strong, and I'll point out, too, that the wage number in the jobs report this morning was decent, 3.2% year over year, nothing to write home about, but better than it was a couple or 3 years ago. But businesses have pulled in their horns for a variety of reasons, and I think that the trade war exacerbates that, and it probably takes a little bit away from hiring. But the far bigger issue, aside from that, Corey, is that the economy just got too far over its skis. You had the big boost from the tax cut. That's dissipated. Debt levels are extremely high, and trade war or not, I think we were getting to a point where you're going to see less growth across the board, including where employment is concerned.
Yeah, that's fair. And just some of those numbers that I was looking for, the 3-month averages of hirings, 156,000, 12-month average, 173, and the 2018 average was 223,000. So a bit of a pullback in that sense. Let's talk about, too, an area where they did pick up hirings. That was the federal government picked up its pace of hirings, adding 20,000 or 28,000. This is the most in a number of months. Any significance in the government doing more hiring this time of the year?
Well, I think I can be corny about it and say that this is yet another Republican who's a borrow and spend Republican who is not, in most ways, reducing the size of government. But, you know, I think that'll always be a constant. But aside from that, I don't, that doesn't stand out to me for any particular reason.
Okay. So overall, this jobs number, yeah, a little bit disappointing, but at least we did see hours worked and wage gains tick up just a little bit. And as I mentioned on the onset, we're not seeing much market reaction to this. So maybe the markets are also just becoming less data dependent. Hey, Chris, do you think that's safe to say?
I think that there's some truth to that. You know, they tend to ignore some of the things like this because there are those two overarching issues that we talked about in more detail yesterday, and that is whether or not there's going to be any breakthrough with China and the U.S. in the new Cold War between our two countries. And secondly, how fast is the Fed going to put more adrenaline into the system. So those are the two things, and the markets and the expectations, I think, are ebbing and flowing based on that. As we said yesterday, you know, based on really at this point still nothing more than hopium, you had yesterday's rally, which caused a big pop above its previous resistance for the S&P 500, and therefore big sell-offs in safe haven assets. So that's all calmed down for today anyhow, but that's what the markets are looking at. And should they be? Yes and no. I think they should be paying more attention to the declining economic fundamentals that have increased a bit of late in the U.S. economy. Nothing dire yet, but certainly not going in the right direction.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Chris, let's also look at the markets in terms of weekly closes. Assuming we don't get any major swings from now until the end of the markets, are there any sectors or any markets, any charts in particular that you find to be pretty interesting in terms of where they might close the week? The one thing that does kind of stand out to me is, again, these U.S. equity markets that are going to be closing at least a one and a half month high right now because of that short-term breakout. But I don't know, to me, nothing too major is catching my eye in terms of weekly closes. How about you?
I'm looking at the Chinese yuan, Corey, of all things. And of course, that's something that has been in the news a lot recently. Not enough this week, in my opinion. It came out overnight that China lowered its reserve requirements for commercial banks to the lowest level since 2007. And the rough takeaway from that is that injected something like an additional $160 billion into Chinese markets and the credit system and so forth. It's a different matter to get people to borrow that money when the shadow banking system is under such stress, as is the economy. But the paradox is that it actually caused a bit more of a rally for the yuan, because to me, and I've been saying this for 5 weeks or so now since I got markedly more bearish, at least for me, and that is that, you know, the economic statistics, for example, in the U.S. mean relatively little in the grand scheme of things for global markets, because what is going to seal the fate potentially of the long-term bull market globally for equities is if something truly breaks. You've had capital flight from China. You've got the continuing situation in Hong Kong. Asia generally is a basket case. South Korea's economy now is tilting into contraction. They have a totally separate war, trade war and diplomatic war, both between them and Japan, going on right now. You've got some of the smaller Asian nations that are benefiting in some ways from manufacturing being moved from China, but at the same time, they're pushing back against China when it comes to the whole Belt and Road Initiative and all of the questionable paper that's supposed to be fostering that. So there's a lot of bad stuff going on in credit markets and underneath the headlines that the average investors and economists pay attention to each day. And so to me, if we see the Chinese yuan break a series of weekly and more recently monthly closing lows significantly at all, that could postpone some kind of a reckoning. That, to me, is as important to watch as anything is right now.
All right. Well, Chris, that's something for, I guess, everyone to mull over this weekend. Just as a final note, too, next week posting on the website will be light because I will be in Beaver Creek, and already my schedule is pretty packed, almost 10 meetings every day, and that means that I won't be able to have my recording software with me. So, again, next week will be light, but please keep the emails coming, especially if it's regarding any companies at Beaver Creek, because, as I said, I'm sitting through a lot of meetings, and when I do meet with any of those companies you have questions on, I will be sure to bring up those questions that you all have. Chris, thanks for your time today and throughout this week. Great chatting with you. Have a great weekend.